God is gone up with a shout, to the Lord with the sound of trumpet. Sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises unto our King, sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding. Good morning and welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. If you're visiting with us today, please take a moment to fill out the tab on your church bulletin and drop it in the collection plate. Pastor Otero would like to send you a thank you note for worshiping with us today. Our brother Ramil Yalde is our guest speaker this morning, and we look forward to hearing the message he will bring from 2 Samuel. Pastor and Mrs. Otero are relaxing, we pray, on vacation in Mexico after quite a sustained period of concern and caring for their daughter Miriam, and we're happy that they are able to relax for a little while. And we thank God for the improvement in Miriam's health. Our second service at 2 p.m. at Pacific Hills Manor this afternoon is another opportunity to bring the worship of the one true God to the shut-ins at this skilled nursing facility through the singing of hymns and hearing the Word of God preached. Our brother Russell Goodman will be the guest speaker at our 5 p.m. Worship service later this afternoon. All other activities normally scheduled for this afternoon are canceled. One final note concerning the October 6th, 20th anniversary celebration of our Bethel Baptist Church. It would be helpful if you intend to attend that celebration, and we hope you will, that you notify Mary Tomlinson so adequate time can be made for plans there. Our scripture reading for this month, printed in your bulletin, is from Psalm 18, verse 32, and Psalm 28, verse 7. It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him. We will be singing again the first and last stanzas of the hymns this morning. So let us begin our worship now with hymn number 37, How Great Thou Art.
Thank you.
us continue our worship with hymn number 236, Amazing Grace. Stand now as we sing hymn number 209, Grace Greater Than Our Sin. Let us come before the Lord in prayer. Father, we are together this morning to pray and praise and worship and learn more about Jesus. We are grateful that by your mercy we can view all of life through the truth of your infallible word. Father, we look to Jesus for everything, every day and every hour, and at this special time when we have assembled together to pray and worship and praise you, and to learn from your word, Father, that we may grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. We seek now to know you more and more and look to that day when we shall see the Lord Jesus face to face. It is a great comfort to know that we can come to you without fear because you are our loving Father, also knowing that the Lord Jesus is interceding for us. We are grateful that we need no other intercessors, but that there is none greater than the one who is seated at your right hand. We thank you that you have made it possible for each one listening on the radio and the internet and audio tape and CDs to worship Jesus with us. We pray for those who are ill. First, we give thanks for the improved health of Miriam Lacey and Judy Plicka. We pray for healing for Christine and Patricia Floyd and for Loretta Forrest, for Don McDowell and Mike Tosti, and Fred Vitola and Paul Ortiz. We also pray for the specific needs of those for whom we pray as we gather every Wednesday. We also pray for them now, knowing that you know their every circumstance. And we thank you, Father, for providing for our greatest need in the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray again for those that are listening on the radio and internet and on CD tape, those that are also afflicted with poor health, that you would restore them. We know, however, Lord, we know that more importantly, it is spiritual health that has eternal consequences. And we pray for those who do not know you, that they may be drawn to the Lord Jesus to believe and follow him. We pray for the missionaries we are privileged to support, for Fred and Carol Lewis in Russian Siberia, for Carl and Ruth Nod in Huesca, Spain, for Eusebio and Maritza Perez in Malaga, Spain, the South Valley Pregnancy Center in Morgan Hill and Gilroy, and Ruben and Irene Zagert in Lodi, California, and also the Young People's Sports Ministry, the Christian Athletic Association in San Jose, California. And we pray, Father, for Marta Peretti in Buenos Aires, Argentina, and for the Motorsports Ministry of Daniel Lacey, wherever the Trans-American Series racing events are held. We pray that you would bless these ministries as they seek to make known your love for the lost and the great salvation wrought through the Lord Jesus Christ. Our work and desire, Father, is that Jesus' name be glorified in the earth, for he is worthy to receive all glory, honor, and power. We thank you for the work you have given us to do, and as the offering is given, we pray it will continue to meet expenses as you have blessed it so bountifully in the past. We love you, Lord, and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
every pain, every tear, there's a God who's been faithful to me.
And when my strength was all gone, when my heart had lost all, still in God he was faithful to me.
Every word he has promised is true. What I thought was impossible, I've seen my God do. When my heart looked away, the many times I could not pray, still my God, he was faithful to me.
And in my selfish need, reaching
Thank you, choir. Please take your Bibles now and turn to the second book of Samuel, chapter 9, verses 1 through 13. If you didn't bring a Bible, there's a Bible provided for you in the pew, and you'll find today's reading on page 205. Please stand now for the reading of God's Word, 2 Samuel, chapter 9, the entire chapter. And David said, Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And there was of the house of Saul a servant, whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, Art thou Ziba? And he said, Thy servant is he. And the king said, Is there not yet any of the house of Saul, that I may show the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet. And the king said unto him, Where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, Behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel, in Lodebar. Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel, from Lodebar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth? And he answered, Behold thy servant. And David said unto him, Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. And he bowed himself and said, What is thy servant that thou shouldst look upon such a dead dog as I am? Then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, I have given unto thy master's son all that pertained to Saul and to all his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits, that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread always at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said Ziba unto the king, According to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. And Mephibosheth had a young son, whose name was Micah. And all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table, and was lame on both his feet. Blessed is God's word. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you. We thank you for your love for us. We who deserve your condemnation for our transgressions, but instead have received mercy, made possible through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ, which you credited to our account, and we come before you in his name. We are amazed that we are recipients of this love and grace, which was determined to come to pass before the world was. We entrust our lives to your hands, knowing that your promises cannot fail, for your word endures forever. We thank you, Father, for the indwelling Holy Spirit, and pray that we always keep in mind that doing your will, as the Lord Jesus commanded, would be first and foremost in our thoughts and actions. We pray for Pastor and Mrs. Otero, and Mrs. Otero's sister and brother-in-law, Mr. and Mrs. Peretti, as they vacation in Mexico, that it will be a time of relaxation, and that they would return refreshed to continue your work. We pray now for our brother, our servant, Ramil Yalde, as he comes to bring the message to us from your word. Bless him in his teaching, we ask, that we may receive it with understanding. We pray for those listening through various forms of media, especially those who are yet in unbelief, that through faith they would understand and believe the good news of your salvation, and you would save them from the wrath to come. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated.
Thank you, brother, for reading from the Word of God. Before we begin, I'd just like to thank the Pastor Otero and the Board of Deacons for allowing me to stand here before you. And I pray that Pastor will come back refreshed, because sometimes when you're traveling and if you have kids with you, you come back needing another vacation from the vacation you took. So you can be on vacation for 52 weeks and never get any vacation. But in this case, pastor needs to rest spiritually and his mind needs to rest, the sickness of his daughter and so forth. But we know one thing, and the thing we know is that God is in control. And that should do it for us. Shall we pray before we begin? Heavenly Father, we thank you again for giving us the opportunity to stand here before you. Help us open our eyes and minds to understand thy word. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Alrighty, thank you very much. And let's open up your Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 9 and put your marker there because we're going to come back to it a couple of times. Let me start by saying that grace is God's kindness towards us. And justice gives every man exactly what he deserves. Justice never considers circumstances, never considers age, never considers condition. Justice gives every man exactly that's what he's due. And justice shows no favor. Justice has and gives no mercy. But grace. Grace is the free favor of God towards us in Christ. Grace is unmerited. Grace is unwarranted and unexpected. Grace is purely a matter of charity. And it's sovereignly given by God and only by Him. Divine grace is God's free favor, bestowing all the gifts of His kindness and love upon lost sinners. If we ever grasp this truth, if we ever come to understand this, we will never, never boast in anything what we've done in our life. All notions of merit, all notions of work, all notions of action for us to get to heaven will be disqualified. We deserve nothing from God but His anger, His wrath, because we are sinners. We deserve nothing from God but His wrath. God's justice dictates eternal damnation because God says, "A soul that sinneth, it shall surely die." That's the justice of God. But now listen. Listen to this. We are justified freely by His grace. By grace you are saved. Salvation is of the Lord. The scriptures are very, very clear about this. So with that in mind, I want us to look at a picture in the Old Testament as our brother read for us in 2 Samuel chapter 9. And we're going to look at the life of a son of Jonathan. And Jonathan is a son of King Saul. So the grandson of Saul. And we're going to see some things about this man's life. Two things we're going to focus on. One is this man's condition. And we're going to see God's grace in that. And then we're going to look at this man's calling. And we're going to also see God's grace in that. But before we get there, let me give you some introduction. David has killed the last sons of Saul's house. You can read about that in 1 Samuel 31. If you remember, Saul had a problem with Gibeonites. He didn't keep the treaty. So Gibeonites were very angry. So therefore, they came to David and they wanted to work out on things. And then they said, "Give us 7 sons of Saul and we call it even and we'll hang them. Otherwise, we're going to have a problem." So David gives to them 7 sons of Saul, except the 8th. Except the last one. The one that nobody remembered. The one that everybody has forgotten. The one that nobody really counted as part of the royal priesthood or royal kingdom of Saul. So David takes Saul's 7 sons and he hangs them. Now the slaughter of Saul's sons was justice. That's what justice is. You break the rules, and if you don't have anybody fighting for you, you will pay the price. You break the rules, and if you have no mediator, Jesus Christ, you will pay the price. Now, if you move forward with me to 2 Samuel 21, I want to read one verse from there for you, 2 Samuel 21. And it says, we're in verse 7, 2 Samuel 21, 7. But the king did what? But the king spared Mephibosheth. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, for by grace you are saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. But the king spared Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, because of the Lord's oath that was between them, between David and Jonathan, the son of Saul. Who was this prince, Mephibosheth? Who was he? Was he just any man lost in the world? He is the grandson of Saul. He is the prince. He could come to the country and ask for his things. This is my dad's house. He is a prince. Now when the news, and I'm giving you some introduction, so bear with me. There was a news reached the palace some years ago about Jonathan and Saul both getting killed in the Battle of Gilboa. And you can also read that in 1 Samuel 31. And we learn about Mephibosheth then, because Mephibosheth was 5 years old. And the nurse takes him and carries him, and she knows that if Jonathan and Saul are killed in the battle, everybody in his kingdom will be killed. So she takes him, and she runs with Mephibosheth. She is in a hurry, and you know what happens to him? She drops him, and he falls, and he becomes lame on both of his feet, and he cannot walk again. So this Mephibosheth is a prince, but he is a lame prince. He is the son of the king, but he cannot walk. Now if you open your Bibles again to 2 Samuel 9, 16 years have gone by since Jonathan and David had that covenant agreement between themselves. And Jonathan knew. One thing interesting about Jonathan. Jonathan was the son of Saul, but he knew he's not going to be the king, because God chose David to be the king. And in the only way he cannot be the king is for him to what? Die. He knows that he's going to die. He knows that his friend, his beloved brother, is going to be the king. And you know what? He's okay with it, because it's the will of God. So they get together, and twice Jonathan asks David, promise me that you're going to save my family. Promise me, give me that oath between you and I, that you will not destroy my family. You will be merciful, you will be gracious unto my family. And David promises him that twice. So now, with that in mind, David sends for Mephibosheth. And you know, if I was in Mephibosheth's shoes, what would I do? A grandson of the king, the son of Jonathan, hiding in a place outside, lame, can't walk, and all of a sudden, king wants to see me in his palace? I would find the smallest hole and I'll just dive into it and hide. I will say I'm not home. I will say take a message. I would say I'm working overtime. I would say I'm not here. I'm hiding from you. Because he doesn't know what's going on. He's never heard about King David, and all of a sudden he wants him in his palace? Wow. Now if you would follow with me as I show you, this story sets the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. David's kindness to Mephibosheth, listen now, for Jonathan's sake, is a beautiful picture of God's loving kindness and mercies to sinners like us. For whose sake? For Christ's sake. Don't forget that. David showed kindness to Mephibosheth, not because of who Mephibosheth was, not because he was lame, because of Jonathan. And God shows mercy to you, Anthony, not because of your dad, because of Jesus Christ. Did you get that? All right. Now, the first thing I want us to look at is Mephibosheth's condition, because that displays the grace of God. It gives us more about the grace of God. First of all, I want to talk about his name. Whenever we come across names in the Old Testament, most of the time they have something hidden behind them. So when I looked up the name Mephibosheth, you know what it means? It doesn't mean proud, it doesn't mean king, it doesn't mean I can do everything. It means shameful. It means full of shame. It means confused, greatly confused. He was a poor, destitute, and a helpless man. Mephibosheth is our name too, isn't it? We were poor, destitute, and helpless people. Listen to what the scripture says. But we are all as what? An unclean thing. It doesn't say your shoulder is dirty. It doesn't say I was painting with my son last night. I got some paint on my hand. And thank God it was water-based so I could wash it off. It doesn't mean you become little dirty. It says all unclean. Everything. The Bible says in Isaiah, again, 1, from the sole of the foot unto the top of your head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds, bruises, and petrifying sores. That's who we are. We are Mephibosheth. We are lame. We are shameful. We are confused people. Take a good look at ourselves. We come to church with our Bible stuck in our hands and we wear our best suits, but you know, we were, if we are saved, we could say, we were Mephibosheth. And if we're not saved, we are still Mephibosheth. Bible calls us a vapor. Bible calls us a grass, withers away, a flower that fades away. We're like lepers. We have this incurable disease in us. We are like this harlot that we've put shame upon our name and our family's name in front of God and His people. Thank God the story doesn't end there, does it? The other thing about Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth was the enemy of king. Naturally, because he was born in the Saul's kingdom, he has become the enemy of the king. Now, listen to this one. This is very important. David was not his enemy. He was David's enemy. Do you get that? David wasn't his enemy. He was David's enemy. We also, by nature, have become God's enemy. Romans 8:7 says, because the carnal mind is what? Loves God. No way. Romans 8:7 says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. What is enmity? Enmity. Enemy of God. Enmity. Desperately seeking to destroy God. Enmity. Hates God. That's the carnal mind. This is the flesh we have. Sin is powerful, my brothers and sisters. Sin isn't just sinning against one person and feeling he will feel bad about what I did. What is sin? Separation from God Almighty. That's what sin is. So man by nature is God's enemy. And we were by nature hiding from God when He saved us. But God never was, never is, and never shall be the enemy of His people. Never. Romans 5:10 says, if you would open with me, let's go to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 5, verse 10. We see that God seeks the lost and the lame, and He reconciles them to Himself. Romans 5:10. For if, when we were enemies, Mephibosheths, when we were enemies of God, we were reconciled to God. How? By the money we pay every week in church. By the amount of Bible studies we attend. By the number of songs we've sang in the choir. By sweeping and cleaning and keeping the house of God. They're all good things. But that doesn't cause us to become saved. We were reconciled to God by the death of His Son.
Much more, being reconciled, how? We shall be saved, what? By His life. That's the key. When we were enemies like Mephibosheth, hiding somewhere outside of Jerusalem, God reconciled us to Himself. He didn't need to, but He did. And that's the love of God. He brought us close to Himself by the death of His Son. And because He lives, you and I live. All the other religions, they're all dead. Someone dead cannot save you. Because Jesus lives, you and I live. So He has sent me here today to preach the gospel of His grace to you. He calls us, He orders us to be reconciled to Himself. Remember, in 2 Corinthians 5:20, the Bible says, "Be ye reconciled to God." It's an order. It's a commandment. Reconcile to God. Quit fighting with God. You're going to lose. Quit going against God. You ain't going to win. Don't fight with God. Reconcile to God. So we see that he is naturally the enemy of the king. What else do we see about this man, Mephibosheth? Mephibosheth became lame through a fall. Let's go to 2 Samuel 4, chapter 4, verse 4. Let me show it to you. In 2 Samuel 4 and verse 4, we read the story about how Mephibosheth became lame. And Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son that was lame on his feet. And this is the story. He was 5 years old when the tidings came of Saul and Jonathan out of Jezreel. And his nurse took him up and fled. And it came to pass, as she made haste to flee, that he fell and became lame. And his name was Mephibosheth. And let's go now to 2 Samuel 9, 5 chapters ahead. Same chapter we read from, and verse 3. And the king said, "Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him?" Is everybody gone from the house of Saul? And Ziba said unto the king, "Jonathan yet had a son, which is lame on his feet." Same son. Now this is a good picture of us. God created man upright. But we fell. And when we fell through our father Adam, we became lame spiritually. We became helpless spiritually. When we sinned, we became helpless in the sight of God. That is why the scripture says this in John 6:44. You can open to it or you can listen. It says, "No man can come to me." You know why? Because we're lame. "But I'm walking." Yes, you are. But we're lame. "But I'm walking. See, I can dance. I can play soccer." Yes, you can. But spiritually, you cannot get to God with these feet. God has to give us the feet, spiritual feet, that will take us to Him. No man can come to me. The problem isn't just our will. It's also our ability. Another thing about Mephibosheth's condition. It was very interesting when David called for Mephibosheth through his servant Ziba. They had to look. You know, they didn't have the internet, last name, comma, first name, bam. You have everything you want. Except Social Security. You have a couple of other codes, you may even get that. But they didn't have that. They didn't have a records. Okay, church directory, who's here, who's not, the phone numbers. He looked for him through his servant. He called him in. He says, "Where is he? Is there anybody left?" And he says, "Yep, I remember one." And it's interesting where he dwelt. Very interesting. Let's go on verse 4. And the king, in 2 Samuel 9, verse 4, "And the king said unto him, 'Where is he?' And Ziba said unto the king, 'Behold, he is in the house of Maker, the son of Amiel, in Lodebar.'" Very interesting where he is. Where would you think a sinner would be? In the kingdom of God? If that was the case, Adam wouldn't be kicked out of the Garden of Eden. He is far away from God. He is far from the king. He is far from Jerusalem. He is far from any prophet. He is far from any kind of fellowship with believers. He is far from any kind of blessings, and also far from a place of sacrifice, and far from the place of worship. He is far from God. Maker. Where is Maker? What does it mean? When you look up that word Maker, you know what it means? Amazing. It means sold. We were sold to Satan. By our sins, we sold ourselves to Satan. You remember Ephesians 2? It describes our old boss, if you're believers. It talks about the power and the principality of the air that was controlling us. That's why God gives us His Spirit in Ezekiel 37. And what does His Spirit do? Makes us and causes us to walk according to His statutes. We were sold. We chose to deliberately go against God. And willingly we became bondage of sin. And the other place where He's from. So Maker, the house of Maker, and He's from Lodebar. And you know what Lodebar means? It's opposite to Bethlehem. What is Bethlehem? Beth, house of bread. Lodebar, a place with no bread. Exactly opposite. Do you know who I recall when I read this? A place without bread. You're being sold and you're living somewhere that has no bread. The prodigal son comes to my mind. You remember him? He left the kingdom of his father and he went and he lived, the Bible says, righteously. And he spent all his money. And what did he do? Did he come back home? No. What did he do? He went and found another citizen in that country. What I call the gospel of works preachers. The gospel of legalists. And the gospel of works says, you have to work here and feed my pigs. He didn't tell him to get up and go to your father. You have to repent. You have to break down. He says, no, work your way through the father. Work here. Work for me and feed my pigs. And you know what the son did? He worked there and he fed his pigs. You can't get to God like that. And then we read in Psalm 68. Let's go to Psalm 68. I want to show you a beautiful verse in Psalm 68. The book of Psalms, Psalm 68, verse 6. God setteth the solidarity in the families. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell where? In the dry land. We live in the dry land without Christ. I don't care how many cars you got. I don't care how many houses you got. I don't care how much money we have saved up in the bank. I don't care how many stock option plans we have. Without Christ, we live in a dry land. No bread. Sold to Satan. And that's the truth. Now that was his condition. What about his calling? Because this is where things start changing. This is where things start moving. First thing, in verse 5 of 2 Samuel 9. In 2 Samuel chapter 9 verse 5, we see something. That he was called by the king himself. We read in verse 5, then the king David sent and fetched him out of the house of Maker. Who got him out? The king himself. He didn't invite him and says, pretty please, if you want, come on to my house and we'll have some desserts and decaf coffee for you and we'll be ready for you. Anytime you want, come on in. No way. He sent and he fetched him. When God the Holy Spirit comes to the lost, lame and poor sinners like we, there's only one way. And that's through Christ that fetches us. That's the only way. There is no other way. Because the Bible says, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Where were we? Maker. Where were we? In the country of Lodebar, without bread, without Christ. I am the living bread, without Him. Mephibosheth came to David in one humble condition. Let's read verse 6 now, right after verse 5 in 2 Samuel 9. Look at his attitude. Now, when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, 2 Samuel 9, 6, look at him. He fell on his face and did reverence. He fell on his face. He's a humbled man now. You cannot come into the presence of God with pride and with me and I and I've done this and I have done that. You gotta fall down. You gotta respect God and you gotta worship God because He is God. He's fetched me out of my sin. He's taken me out of my dead full nature. He is giving me a new spirit. How am I gonna come to God? I gotta put my face down. I gotta worship the Almighty God. And David said, Mephibosheth. And then he answered. Look what he said. What did he say? Behold thy servant. Do we serve God Almighty? If I and you have been called of Lodebar and the house of Maker, do we serve Him? That's a big question for us. Now another thing in verse 7 about Mephibosheth's calling. Look what David says to him. Verse 7 in 2 Samuel 9. And David said unto him, Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid when you come to Jesus, because He will show you kindness. And I guarantee you one thing. If you go to Jesus, if you come to Jesus, make sure of one fact. You've been fetched. No question about it. And if you come, He will show you kindness. It's written in the scripture. What is His kindness? Did He give you a pass just to go through your sins? He died for you and I on the cross if we are His people. There is only one way to live, and that's through Christ. And Mephibosheth knew that. When he went in front of the king, David, he knew this guy has the power to take him, save him, or to destroy him. So he comes as a servant. And then in verse 7, we read the continuation of that. He asks him not to fear. Not to fear. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. You remember the hymn, Just as I am, without one plea, right? But that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me to come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Couple of more things for the closing. Mephibosheth was received altogether for the sake of Jonathan. We read that in verse 7 at the end. For Jonathan's, thy father's sake, he received him. They had nothing to do with Mephibosheth. David received him because of Jonathan, because of the covenant they had together. And in verse 8, when Mephibosheth comes to David, he learns something about himself. Look what he says. He bowed himself and said, What is thy servant, in verse 8, that thou shouldst look upon such a dead dog as I? He learned something about himself. He might have been the grandson of King Saul in Lodebar, but in this house, in this place, in front of King Messiah, we are servants and we are nothing. If He doesn't show us mercy, we cannot glory in what we have. So it was all together for Jonathan's sake. And same thing is true for us. It's all together for the sake of Christ that we can stand and we can claim that we are Christians. And in verse 7 at the end he says, "And I will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father." You know, Mephibosheth got more than what he deserved. Look at that. He not only got all the stuff from his grandfather Saul. "Thou shalt eat bread at my table." When? Every morning. Continually. You're in my presence. I am with you. I'm going to give you more than what you've lost. Not only the stuff from your grandfather's house, all the money, all the cars, all the perks, I will give you the ability to sit at my table and eat with me continually. Only the people of God have that opportunity. And verse 9, "Then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, I have given unto thy master's son all that pertaineth to Saul and all his house." Everything was returned to him. But nothing, one thing didn't change. He sat on the king's table, but he sat there without any upgrades. He didn't go get wooden legs or something to show that he could walk. He didn't try to make any change in his demeanor, in the way he was. He didn't get any upgrades from medicine, medical environment. He went as he is, and God took him as he was. But when he sat behind that table, the grace of God covered his deformities. Because the Spirit of God is in us. When God is in us, who can be against us? So he sat on his table. In verse 10, at the end of verse 10, we read, "Thy shall and master's son shall eat bread always at my table." And verse 11, "And as for Mephibosheth," at the end, says the king, "he shall eat at my table as" who? "One of my servants, as one of my maids, as one of the king's son." That's what happened to him. We come to God because He fetches us. We break down before God as servants of God. And what does He do? He takes us and He places us next to Him on His table. And we will eat with Him continually. We will eat the bread of life with Jesus, not as a third-class citizen, but as His son. And that's what happened to you and I if we are believers. May I close by one verse in Matthew 11, verse 28. We have to come to Christ by faith. We have to take our place at the king's table. What a privilege we have. And if you come, don't glory in your action, because it is God that has fetched you out of your sins and miseries, the sores that are hidden sometimes and nobody knows about them. Matthew 11:28, the Bible says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank You for the powerful message in Thy Gospel. Father, help us to come for Christ's sake. Amen.
Calvary with grace so great. it, it can't be taught. I see creation bright with wonder, fields and mountains, seas and stars, but my
Shall we stand for the closing of the prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the wonderful lesson and the beautiful choir and the music that we've heard today. We ask you to sustain us and to fill us and be with us for another week. And we thank you for what you've done in our life and what you're going to do with us today and forever. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.